to do that. And if we have, I'm sorry, baby, I can't really remember, but I know that I did some work with him before, like video or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. He's lovely, very lovely.
Well, we will all be looking for you on Facebook and Instagram, as well as all over
Thank
the
you.
YouTubes, and following your career
Blessings.
as you go forward. Thank you so much, Liv Warfield, being a guest today. I really do
Thank
appreciate your
you.
time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to the program today. Past episodes of Times Like Now can be found wherever you get your podcasts. Special thanks to Anthony Karras for audio technical support today, as well as the letter J, Cody Robertson, for original theme music. My name is Trevor Collins. I can be reached, trevor@timeslikenow.com. Thank you once again for listening, and I look forward to speaking with you all next time.
I am Dr. Demento. I am here in a land of happy, freaky people. KBOO Portland.
You can follow KBOO on all your social media platforms. Just look for KBOO on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Get access to our new content and news, as well as special offers and contests. Like and share your favorite community radio station, KBOO.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Have him on my whoa, whoa, whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Christine A. Richardson. She is a costume director for the Portland Opera and the designer of the costumes for Tosca, which runs from October 29th to November the 6th at the Keller Auditorium for three performances. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus in person in your costume shop in the Portland Opera building.
Well, welcome, welcome. Happy to have you here.
So Tosca's one of those big Puccini chestnuts that everyone loves. You know, it's many people's first opera, and it has, you know, big choruses, everyone on stage at certain times. And your task, having seen the set that's coming, is to design the clothes. So what was your immediate take on the design? Do you think first in color, period? You know, what's your first idea?
It's kind of a combo pack. I think I see them both at the same time, period and color. Color definitely, the color of the set definitely is more influential than, let's say, the period, because of the palette. Because it is such a big show, the palette can be quite broad, but having a narrower palette is really the, you know, my focus, trying to keep things in a certain world, the same world. Again, an audience member wouldn't necessarily know what it is that they're looking at, but if I sort of keep it, that composition condensed, and then I can focus you on her, I can focus you, you know, on Tosca herself, or I can focus you on Scarpia, I can control what is the focus, what the focus needs to be by controlling the palette a little bit. But I also really love to lean into the reality, and if you walk down the street today, you're going to see people in all colors and all colors of and shapes of clothing, which definitely would have been a thing at the time, right? You would see people of different, let's say, income classes. You would see people of different sort of in a class system, of course, of economics and social. So you're going to see different fabrics. You're going to see different colors. People going out, right, would have worn their gloves and their hats. And so the fact that we're seeing them outside as opposed to inside leans into it. But I love kind of creating almost a backstory for each of the characters as well, even though they're not a named character. These are chorus members. This is, you know, 40 chorus members, but kind of coming up with maybe she's a widow, maybe she's a mom of five, maybe, you know, these are a mom and a daughter going to the church, because that is the big scene. The big scene we see them in is the church, so.
So Tosca's set in 1800 in Rome, and I sort of thought, oh, poor old people back then, they only had brown and black, unless you were rich and you had some like exotic silks or something. And you were like, no, this was Rome, it was a crossroads of culture, there were all sorts of fashions coming and going. So you were thinking like that as you worked. What kind of colors did you start thinking of?
definitely, you know, when I'm thinking about color in general for a period piece, the fact that the fabrics that I'm going to choose are going to be natural fiber fabrics, colors are different, right? A blue piece of silk is different from a blue piece of polyester. So leaning into richer tones, sort of warmer tones, a lot of reds and crimsons and vermilion, rusts, some blues, you know, kind of leaning a little bit into some cooler blues, again, for sort of popping things out. But it is very much like a, you know, composition that you're painting. It's a landscape. It's a, because it's a crowd scene. So leaning into rich tones, jewel tones, more mid-tone and dark, you know, it's a kind of a darker church. The big scene is a darker church. So not wanting to put anything that's too light, but putting a few things that are lighter that might indicate that this character is a younger character. This is a younger girl if she's got something sort of light on.
So we're standing at the rack of what the chorus Ta-da. Will be wearing. I guess this is the guy's side, mostly, yeah.
Yep.
So kind of frock coats and...
Yes.
Regency stuff, lots of buttons, big shoulders, big collars, puffy white shirts, of course.
Yes. You got to have a puffy white shirt, right? And the stock, you know, there's a, each of these gentlemen, this was a period where the white stock, which was a very long piece of sort of thinner voile white fabric that they wrapped around their neck and gave them quite a tall neck. You think about like Beau Brummel or, you know, the dandy.
Called?
Yes, it's a stock, is that piece stock? Of fabric that okay. goes around the neck. You know, it's the language of the cravats, all the different, you know, styles, the jabots. So in this case, that white shirt, you know, think Mr. Darcy, Stadassi, mm-hmm. right? He's got that high neck, the collar sort of just barely comes up above the chin and sort of goes around the cheeks. The cravat or the stock then wraps around the neck with a nice big bow. So yeah, so it's kind of a combo. The gentlemen are in velvets and wools, some soft wools. Some are in breeches with tights and some loafers, like some flats, some opera pumps. And then some of these guys are in sort of, again, that Mr. Darcy, that Sense and Sensibility, the tall boots, the tall riding boots. All of the gentlemen have hats, top hats, some kind of a hat, again, because everybody's coming from outside or going inside. Mm-hmm.
What's your average Roman urchin boy wearing?
Well, we don't have any Roman urchin boys in this version. I'm sure that if you wanted to audition for that, I'm sure we could make you into a Roman urchin boy. I'm here for you. So these are all pretty much middle class, let's say, uh-huh. and upper class from an income stream, let's say. So are the ladies. Then there are all of the church members. There's a choir. There's a very important piece, the Te Deum. There's a Te Deum mass, but there's the cantoria, which is the set of choir members that come usually with the set of choir boys, but with we're not having any choir boys in our production because of they need to be vaccinated, and our small choir boys, wow. right, are younger choir people, choir young children, because they're not all boys, some of them are girls. Yeah. So we've got a choir, then we've got some nuns, then we have several priests, and then we mm-hmm. have all of the embroidered, which is around the corner here. All
so
the
you got nuns
wear.
In long kind of dove gray.
Those are the novices.
Okay.
These are novices. Mm-hmm.
And the
so they're
whites.
The younger. Yep. And then.
What'd you call it? This is a wimple still?
That is. That's a collar. This is the. This would be the wimple.
Oh yeah. And then you've got black. Same thing in black.
Right. So these are the nuns. The older nuns. Mm-hmm. Don't tell them I said older, but yeah, the older nuns.
Do you? I mean, how closely do you have to stick to? What type of nun they were at that time?
Yeah, you know, a big part of my job, and really a big part of the reason I love my job, is the historical part of it. I love the sociological and psychological aspects of clothing and the historical, like sort of why we wore what we wore, how things changed and evolved over time, whether it was the rich or the poor from a functional standpoint or a fashion standpoint. So I definitely do all of that research. It can be, you know, get as close as I can to certain things because I love that part of it. But at the end of the day, it can be very cost prohibitive to, you know, make something be exactly what you would want it to be. Making sure that you're creating the palette, creating the look for the entire stage is the thing that I sort of focus mm-hmm. on, and making sure that it looks right.
So then we have the ladies choir stuff.
Yes.
Which is a much wider variety of dresses. So what's the...
As the ladies should be, right? A little more variety.
Yeah.
Again, the same thing, you know, choosing fabrics with texture, these silks.
So this is a kind of...
It's a pentax silk, so it's a diamond.
Rust-colored?
Yeah, it's rust. Yeah. Yep, I would say rust or russet.
With a diamond cross-hatching kind
pentuck. So these are tiny little tucks. So they've tucked it one way, and then they've tucked it another way.
And you've turned it into a...
A little Spencer jacket. Okay. Yeah, and so she still needs to get her trim on. But that's essentially her little jacket that goes over her silk dress, which is this yellow silk, yellow plaid silk. The silhouette of these is kind of a little fuller in the back. Again, think, you know, all those Jane Austen movies. It's fuller in the back, a little flatter in the front. But silks, you know, choosing some silks and the cottons and the linens on stage, the color, you know, changes when you're doing something that's a natural fiber like silk as opposed to a polyester. Choosing a silk, which I've got great resources for that, so it's not necessarily more, you know, more expensive, but finding fabrics that will really sort of move the way you want them to move and look the way you want them to look. Again, when you're composing that from a color and from a textural standpoint, that's a huge part of it because it is, it's a play. People are moving on stage, so. Mm-hmm.
Is that choice to do with the comfort of the singers, or is it more you want to be authentic to the period?
It's closer. I will always try to make things comfortable for performers. It's just doesn't make any sense to not make it comfortable. So I always, mm-hmm. from an engineering standpoint, begin there.
What kind of things do you have to do with it, you know, to accommodate people's lungs?
You know, everybody's different. Each singer is different. Some singers like to be constricted. Other singers like a lot more room. Where that room goes, I can manipulate where that room needs to be in order for me to have it still look the way I want it to look, but still accommodate an individual's needs. And I just, you know, meet everybody where they are, mm-hmm. you know, in the fitting room to sort of see what it is that they need, because it's always a little bit different. But the more comfortable and more confident they feel in what it is that they're wearing will only, you know, benefit everybody, because then it will look beautiful.
What's this beautiful brown? It's another, you know, kind of cropped jacket, very,
It's called a Spencer. It's a Spencer jacket.
It's brown with a gold.
Yeah, it kind of gives it a bronze. It's embroidered. It's a jacquard. Brocade or a jacquard is that pattern. Yeah, so she's, likewise, so she's got this beautiful maroon and bronze embroidered.
Okay.
Yep, so that's the dress she wears over the top of it.
Yeah.
So you know.
Would she be a lady?
Oh, yeah, so she's a rich lady. She's a rich lady. I can show you her hat. Would you like to see her bonnet? This is her bonnet.
Oh, right. See, did you get to make the hats, too?
I do.
Design
I do get to.
Make.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, especially as a designer, like to be able to start, you know, be able to pick each thing, pick the fabric, mm-hmm. pick the fabric, pick the buttons, pick the trim, pick the size, pick the, again, then it's more, a lot more like sculpture. I sort of think of what it is that I do more as sculpture or painting. Some designers, you know, some costume designers, like fashion designers, come to it through sketching. They love to sketch and draw mm-hmm. pictures. I've never enjoyed
oh, really?
That part of it.
What do you do?
I do it. I mean, I love to look at images and find pictures, but I will very quickly take a piece of fabric and drape it on a form and kind of have the idea mm-hmm. or pull pieces together and put them together to kind of combine to make something.
In real life with your hands? No, you're
yeah.
not talking about on a tablet
no,
3D.
No, these little guys right here.
Okay.
These little guys right here, yeah. I just love that part of it. It's the hands-on. I came from the sewing, from the creating, from the going to the thrift store as a kid and buying a bunch of cheap things and ripping them up and, you know, making something new mm-hmm. into it to wear it to school or, you know, building things out of random pieces of fabric and scrap wood and whatever. It's the creating. It's the mm-hmm. that's why I have to, I'm flicking my hands
when
in
you,
the air.
When you make a hat,
yeah.
do you have to stick to all the traditional hat making crafts, or is it
you know,
more like a school play where you just
no, I mean, from a hat standpoint, it's pretty much the same way that they made the hats. I mean, mm-hmm. the structure that's inside here, this is a buckram
so
structure.
It's a kind of a cylinder.
Right, so the crown of it,
yes,
yeah. Yeah, so the crown of it is a cylinder, basically, with a top. It looks like a little fez, actually, if you think mm-hmm. of it that way. That's buckram inside there, so that's a reinforced kind of canvas that's made for that. Now, before, it would have been like a horsehair, it would have been something back in the day. So let's say the materials have changed, but the way that you put it together is still very much the same. It's mm-hmm. all done by hand, like all of this is done by hand and steamed out to be the shape that you need it to be. And then the feathers are the same. Like, this is all these feathers. I individually curl those and trim the other side.
Are they pheasant?
Those are, yep.
You steam them, did you say?
Yeah.
To curl them?
Well, you want to give a little bit of steam. No, you actually do this little pinching. Think of it as, like, you know, if you think of a like ribbon, when you curl ribbon, like, mm-hmm. with your fingernail,
yeah.
it's the same idea, but you're basically just telling one side of it to kind of bend in a little bit. So by telling it to bend in, it kind of, you have to do it slowly, and you probably go through a couple of them before you mm-hmm. get the one that you really want. But isn't that art? Right? You slap some paint on, or you just really go, oh, that's not what I want. I'll start over again. So a few feathers were sacrificed in the pursuit of that beautiful bonnet.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Christine A. Richardson. She's the costume director for the Portland Opera and designed the costumes for Tosca, which plays October 29th. Through November the 6th. So let's go over and look at Tosca herself.
Herself, yes. I was gonna say, one of the things about, you know, being here on the West Coast, I lived in Minneapolis for 17 years, and fabrics, just like finding paints, finding, you know, some a sculptor finding the right clay, you know, people finding the right medium materials. It's always exciting when I can find something out here, the right fabrics, you know, the right colors for things, but I still swatch from the East Coast. I'll still get swatches.
You mean
from.
There's better fabric on the East Coast?
Well, it's just, there's just more fabric stores, like independent fabric stores. You know, I love Mill End, like fabrics out in Milwaukee. They just have such an extraordinary combination.
Are you
of fabrics.
Shop retail like the rest of us?
Oh my God, yes. Yes, yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, shop local. I'm big on the shop local. So if I can find it here, yeah, but I will still, you know, source things from other places to mm-hmm. get, again, the right colors, just the right colors. So
Tosca, you know, she's the tragic heroine. She loses her boyfriend to this evil head of police who wants Tosca and wants the boyfriend killed. The, you know, Scarpia, this chief of police, makes her choose, you know, his life or don't hand yourself over to me, that kind of thing. So she has, it's three acts, so she has three big costumes, right?
She has three looks, yep.
And her first look is a lot of blue, with a blue
It's a blue silk taffeta, yeah, and a blue velveteen Spencer jacket, like similar style to the other ladies. Mm-hmm. She's a little more dramatic, though. She's got, you know, the underskirt. She's got this beautiful gold changeable underskirt, and the beautiful, again, the velveteen, which is really hard to find beautiful velveteen anymore. Spencer jacket that goes over it. Again, the loft of this, when she walks across the stage with this silk skirt, this underskirt will stay in front of her, but this other outer skirt has a little bit of a train, so it'll just sort of cascade and train behind her, which is just really beautiful. And the way the light, again, will pick up that blue, will pick up all these colors.
So you said if you used polyester,
yeah.
you would see it, obviously, and you think the audience would know that there's something a bit off?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of little decisions that costume designers make. I mean, I think that all artists make, too, whether it's color or texture, an audience member or a viewer isn't going to necessarily look at it and say, oh, it's because it's a silk skirt. But they're going to know. They will know that there's something right about it when it's right, and when something's a little bit off, you know, which is what we do too. Like, we manipulate it. If I wanted it to look off, I would use polyester. That's a whole different choice. It's a whole different Tosca.
Mm-hmm.
We could do that one. So, you know, audience members are not going to see or not going to know all of the smaller choices that I make from color to texture for this composition. But I know that they're going to get it. They're going to see the quality, the intentionality, the dimension, what it is that I'm trying to communicate.
Mm-hmm. I always remember an English teacher, this was in Birmingham in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
he knew someone who worked for the Royal Opera, and he remember him laughing because they use real gold leaf.
Oh no, yeah, we still use gold leaf, yeah. For you know, it's the same thing, right? So certain jewelry, like a crown or some kind of
mm-hmm.
Necklaces, any kind of metal work, Using crystal as opposed to plastic, right? Using gold leaf as opposed to just some kind of really pretty shiny paint. Again, it's completely different on stage. I mean, you would be able to see it, the difference, if it was sitting in front of you. But what the stage does, because of the lights, you know, the enormity, let's say, of the space that it's playing on, the lights, the set, everything really changes. The tonality really changes the sheen, changes the tech, changes everything. So there are certain things that you still have to, you know, you still want to be using in order to get the effect that you want, whether it's the scenic or costumes, props. Yeah. There are certain things that you still, you have to use because...
So you got a Tosca in church in this Virgin Mary blue.
Yes.
Is that because in church it's dark and this will show up?
Yeah. One of the things in costume design, you know, when you're taking costume design course, they talk about sort of a color story for a character. It's not something that I heavily lean into, but I think it can be an interesting storytelling. So in this first scene, she's a little naive. She's full of herself. She thinks, you know, everything's great, and she's just me. Whereas in the, you know, act two, act three, things get a little dark. Vengeance is her motive. So to sort of start with this light, slightly fluffy, you know, with a little lace, with a little, the softer tones, the innocence of blue, right, to just kind of make her this soft, girlish, slightly decadent, again, naive and a little self-centered, to start there then gives us the room then when we get to the storytelling visually, sartorially, we get to then the act two, which is the Tosca dress. Most Toscas, you know, we're going tradition. You know, we're going straight for,
most,
you know, the traditional.
Most Toscas wear what?
Red.
Velvet?
Yes, red. We're red. We're some kind of a red.
Mm-hmm. So what color is this?
It's a dark maroon. So it is a red. It kind of leans a little more towards the blue. Which is just really beautiful on stage and beautiful, you know, definitely to take people's skin tones and, you know, hair color into the picture while I'm choosing fabrics. So, so this one, and again, it's a silk rayon velvet and a silk.
Who's singing Tosca?
Her name's Alexandra Lobianco.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's her skin tone?
Oh, she's a little olivey, just a little, you know, we changed a little bit of that with the makeup, but she's kind of a warmer, you know, you used to say winters, springs, remember color the color theory. So I keep wanting to say, she's kind of a summer. if anybody remembers that, she's kind of a summer. So this color will be beautiful. I met her up in Seattle to do a pre-fitting last month. To try to get things a little bit on their way, and got to kind of have my eyes on her, and that's why I picked the color.
So this big velvet, I call it a red velvet dress.
Yes, no, it is.
It's gonna billow out behind her.
Yes,
is that right?
It has a train. It has a train.
It drags on the floor.
It will. Yeah. As you know, she's an actress. Floria Tosca is an actress.
She's and playing so, a singer.
Yes. So she's the drama. You know. She's got the drama dress. Absolutely, yes. So with the beautiful, you know, puff sleeves and the embroidered lace, this is the Tosca dress. You know, a lot of times in Tosca, and this is one of those things too. You know, as a costume designer, the Tosca's been done before, and so do you follow, you know, what the Toscas have been? Mm-hmm. Do you sort of, you know, seek out a new way to do it? And the director definitely is, you know, the main part of that is talking to the director and seeing what he, she, they want to do. So that's where I start. But, you know, if there's something that I'm interested in doing, I will always, you know, give them the benefit of, hey, what do you think if we would do this?
Who's the director?
Linda Brovsky.
Did she say, I want a straight down the line?
Really, when we started talking,
1800 Tosca dress.
Even here at the Portland Opera, when we were talking about, you know, doing Tosca, and especially since this is our, you know, return finally to the stage, back to the Keller stage, you know, to do a, you know, fan favorite world over Tosca, tell that story from a traditional standpoint, from, you know, aesthetically. It's not so much like, let's say, to play it safe, but it's just such a great, great feeling to sort of like lean into that old classic. And it's beautiful, you know, old classic aesthetic design. There's no, you know, no surprises. This is just beautiful. It's just
beautiful. You're not doing this one in business attire.
Not this time. Not this time, Joseph. Stay tuned. Maybe next time.
And then what's her third act dress?
So her third act is more, you know, she's a little bit, you know, she's come through the streets or, you know, come to there to, you know, hopefully take her boyfriend away. Spoiler alert, that doesn't happen. So she's a little bit incognito. You know, she's a little bit, right? She's not, and she's, I don't want to say she's grown up, but I guess she's grown up a little bit in the sense of, you know, life's getting dark here. It's mm-hmm. not the fluffy blue, lovely silk loft. This is a brown cotton striped that she wears underneath this dark blue wool cape.
It's like brown with a white pinstripe, but it's,
yep.
it's not.
It's,
really
a, it's
pin.
A woven pinstripe. It's a it or, okay. it, well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of a wider pinstripe. It's a Keller pinstripe. You wouldn't be able to see a pinstripe on the Keller stage. So this is a.
Oh, right,
I like
right.
to call
it's
it Keller.
Up the back.
Exactly. It's like a Keller size trim. You know, mm-hmm. when you're looking at trim in a costume shop and looking at in reality, what you see in your hand is not going to be what you see on the stage from row C. Right. It's going to go away. So unless it's got a little more presence to it, it's you're not going to see it at all, which again is intentionality. Maybe I don't want it to be seen. Maybe
well,
I do.
I do wonder why you had the ring of the boyfriend engraved with a
oh,
certain
yeah,
coat of arms which no one's going to see.
Yes, I love this stuff. As an artist, I work with other artists, right? I mean, as a costume designer, I'm working with performers, actors, dancers, singers. I love that connection. I love my ability to help them, you know, see and really be that character. Mm-hmm. So I love the little things that nobody but the performer and I are gonna know. I don't need anybody else to know that the ring that I'm giving Cavaradossi, that I'm giving Noah Stewart, who's singing our Cavaradossi, this Caravadossi, the family, Caravadossi family crest, but he'll know. Mm-hmm. And I've got Cavaradossi actually engraved on the inside of it as well. So he'll know, and I just love that stuff. Sometimes I'll ask, you know, the performer, is there something that you'd like to have in your pocket? Like, I'll even suggest something. Like, you know, would you like something that's in your pocket? Maybe it was your, and it's not a prop. This is not a prop. It's mm-hmm. a costume piece. Maybe there's a ring that you wear that was your mother's, or maybe there's something that you have in your pocket that is it's just a stone
oh,
and you
yeah,
really love. It's your like a little lucky stone. But it's
this what
is,
do you do? You sew it in so it doesn't fall out?
No, maybe or just put it in there.
What, that like their mother's ring?
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, anything that's gonna help them if they want. This isn't something that I push, but mm-hmm. I love, again, it goes back to when I was talking about the chorus. So the chorus is 40 people and they're townspeople, I say that with air quotes, townspeople, mm-hmm. Let's come up with a backstory. What is it that, you know, who are you? Why are you here in the church? And let's sort of talk about why you might be having the things that you have. And it's just such a much more, we're storytellers, that's what we're doing. So mm-hmm. I tell stories sartorially, right? I tell stories through the clothing. So to sort of invest in. I feel like it's an investment in that process, but an investment in my fellow artists to say, you're more than just townsman number four.
Right.
Let's talk about who you might be.
So at the end, you know, spoiler alert, Tosca chucks herself off the balcony.
She does chuck herself. Yes, yes.
Facing the crowd this
yes,
time.
Yes,
and she's
yes.
wearing this big navy blue cloak.
Well, she's going to take that
off.
And she's going to throw that because there are people that are coming for her, right?
Right.
They realize
so like
and
a
they,
decoy.
You know, right. They want to be like, oh, we're going to try to not, you know, we're going to try to save her and imprison her or whatever. And she's like, I got other ideas. So yeah, so she's actually going to chuck that at them. Watch for that.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Christine A. Richardson. She's the costume director at the Portland Opera and designed the costumes for Tosca, which plays October 29th through November the 6th in three performances at the Keller Auditorium. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus in person, Christine.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Hand him on now, whoa, whoa, whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 19 de octubre del 2021. Mientras el coronavirus atravesaba el Valle del Paraíso, un remanso flanqueado por una granja en la Amazonía brasileña, Lenilda dos Santos, una enfermera, estaba en primera línea agarrando las manos que más temían tocar. Ella era una guerrera durante la pandemia, dijo Lucineide Oliveira, amiga y colega en el pequeño hospital de la ciudad con poco personal. Ella decía, si tenemos que morir, moriremos, pero debemos luchar. Pero una mañana, a principios de agosto, mientras las dos mujeres se sentaban a la entrada de su sala de COVID, Lenilda anunció